Well, Lonnie, if you look at the future amount of computed, though, you're showing the balance for the remainder projected. Well, you're showing a projected actual of 954 versus a budget of 1.1.
Yeah.
So we're still not in the 400,000 range.
No, actually, that goes out, if you look at the next to last column, that's 366 on the year.
Yeah, on the year. You have to look on the year.
So you add that 217 variance to the 149 existing, and you are within shouting distance at 400.
Yeah, 316, and that's because they have reduced their expenses. Now, if the question on the table is, how do we know what's going to happen with a station? What is the early warning system? How can we prevent it? Well, the answer is that one drive losing $400,000 is sudden death to a station. If it were 200 or 100, it wouldn't be such a difficult task. But 400 is an enormous amount. And why did it happen? So you ask that question. Well, we've tossed around answers to that question at this committee for a couple of years. Some people say, well, it's because we've turned off the listeners, and they're reducing their support, and that's why it's 400,000 off. Other people will say our listeners are aging and they're not giving as much. Others that they hate the programming, and you know, choose your answer. But the answer is here.
Well, you know, one question that I have, given what you just said, first of all, was the July fund drive budgeted? The 718, was that already planned?
Well, what they normally do is a summer drive, and it's usually in August. They're speeding it up because they need those funds.
Right, but they anticipated, so the 325 they're looking to do was already part of the plan. They just moved up the date?
It moved up the date, exactly, but it didn't erase the $400,000 problem.
Okay, so then if I'm WBAI, the station management and the LSB, and I'm looking at the next year's budget, and given that this shortfall occurred after problems last year, why would, I mean, it seems to me that the FTE reduction is going to have to be kind of required.
It looks that way, yes.
I mean, I hate to throw that out there, but if you don't have it, where will it come from next year?
This is Baruzzi.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Indra's first draft, she has staff reduction.
She does?
She does.
3 full-time and 2 half-time.
We all know, by the way, that a big part of BAI's problem is their rent. If you look at their rent, it's out of line with other stations. So there are other stations that are, you know, in that realm. So that is one of the problems there.
Clearly. Yeah, that is.
Just a slight modification.
Lonnie, what is the rent, and what is the rent on that antenna? That's going up to, what, $225,000 a year?
The rent and the antenna are costing about $22,000 a month.
And it's going up.
And it's going up at WBAI.
But aren't we locked into, not the antenna, but the let's go to the rent itself. Aren't we locked in a lease there, Baruzzi, currently?
Yes.
And that lease does last for how much longer?
7 years.
7 years. So, we're kind of in a lease now that goes for 7 more years. So is there a feeling that I'm missing here that there's some way that there's a possibility within the next 7 years to bypass that obligation?
Is there an escape clause in the lease?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they did think of it. They did look at the lease. Renegotiating the lease was one possibility that people looked at. The other one was to look at subletting, that is to reduce the amount of space there that they use and sublet, thereby reducing the cost of WBAI, and, of course, trying to break the lease, working with an attorney while moving into cheaper space.
So those are options that are being explored now that would be reflected in the 06 budget?
Potentially, but the work has to be done, yeah.
A point of information? We have this, Patty, WBI. We have a real estate guy on the finance committee who has done a complete examination of this. I think the report's been sent around. It would be in the 7 figures to move in any way. First, you have to break the lease or replace the tenancy, and then we would have to move and rebuild studios. So you're talking at least $1 million or $2 million. And how are you, if you divide that up to find another New York space, even if it's half the money, or it's not going to be half the money, the transmitter is about $250,000 or so. So you're only talking about reducing the rent in the building itself. And if you reduce it by half, you're talking like $125,000 at the most a year. Over, that's 8 years for $1 million. So if you're, it's not going to pay to even move, really. I mean, this, looking at the move to the expense of the building is like, not, I don't really think a good place where we keep looking there. We should just not even look there. If it, that happens, fantastic. We have to, I think, look at the other issues, the overspending that's been taking place there, and to find a way to bring back volunteerism in this foundation is the only way this will survive. And I'm looking at the fund drive details. If anybody wants to see the drive failings here, you can go to jamesrothsforlsb.org/fundraising days, and you will see spring 203, goal 1.2 million, pledges 840. Fall 203, 1.2 million, pledges 800. December radio arts, 100,000, raised 34,000. Winter 204, 1.1 million, it raised 1.08 million. And then we had, in spring 04, 1.1 million, 850,000 it raised. It has been consistently over time, it has not made its money. And so this is old news here. And I just don't we're in trouble. And to look at the people's faces at the station that are working hard to make something happen, really, we have to rethink why this is happening. I'm glad people are really looking at it, but moving is not the answer. There is something wrong why we're not raising money, and these one of every 4 days in fundraising, and we are really in the situation now. Anyway.
Okay. I would like to bring up a couple other
things. I'm glad you said that, Patty. Because I came to the same conclusion. I've just been here a couple of weeks. Something is terribly wrong.
Ambrose, the reductions before, Dave, I know you had something. But
yeah, I've got a bag full, so I'll
wait. I just wanted to clarify on I'm not going to go through the details of the whole budget. I trust the overall impression here, but I'm just wondering, the reductions that you mentioned in this salaried, is that budgeted for next year, or is that something that's already taking place now?
We were asking for her to come up with a plan to deal with these problems. And on June 29th, she sent an email suggesting that some employees, the 3 full-time and 2 half-time employees, might be laid off. That doesn't fully address anything, but it's an attempt.
Okay.
But nothing has occurred since, except this week she notified the union person that she might be talking with them about staff reductions. And three full and 2 half-time won't really address the problem. And I think Patty will agree with that.
They've already... They lost, WBAI lost their receptionist, correct? So right now they have moved someone into that position. So they lost one, correct? Just through a death? Isn't that correct?
Yeah, but they have, I believe there's a temp in that position. A new temp.
Not a volunteer.
No, I don't think
no.
If I may, I'd like to ask a couple of specific questions on other topics.
I have a couple questions.
Go ahead, Casey.
Thank you. Since we're talking about staff and FTEs, I'm looking at this payroll detail that was out in March 2005, and I think that there may be a misunderstanding in the way you're reporting FTEs, because you're listing, what it looks like you're doing is listing salaried people as either 100% or 50% and a couple at 10%, and then there are a bunch of people that are just listed as hourly. But really, those hourly people should be reported somehow as an FTE, depending upon the number of hours they're working. And then you add up the percentages. So when I look at this and I add up, there are 13 hourly people on here, which would bring your FTEs up to actually 40. If these hourly people are working 40 hours a week, you're really looking at 40 FTEs at WBAI, not 29. This list has 27. When I add up, if I add the 50% together and the 10%, Yeah, we're looking at we're looking at 40.
If I don't have that the list that you're looking at in front of me, but a lot of those hourlies are from the list that I've seen are fund drive people.
Okay, but even so, you can't when you're listing on a payroll report FTEs.
Oh, no, I agree.
If you've got an hourly person, I mean, these people are still working a certain number of hours.
Right.
So this report doesn't give accurate information about the number of people and how you can kind of move stuff around. So that was just a comment. And then, you know, I had a question also when you were talking about the 50,000 legal, because I started looking through when you started talking some of these minutes. And just, Lonnie, if you could help me out here. At the February 18th meeting, you said that all legal fees were paid off. And then at the March 28th meeting, you said that we were going to, at the end of this fiscal year, write off $252,000 in legal fees. So I was a little confused there. And then the last meeting, or two meetings ago, somebody brought up a $100,000 legal bill that wasn't paid. And so now what I'm hearing is $50,000 that I'm assuming are new fees. But where are we standing with that? Because, you know, in February, we reported and approved minutes that said that legal bills were paid off. The next month, there was a report that $252,000 was being written off. What's the status?
And who authorized the new $50,000 in legal fees?
That's new legal.
Yeah, but what happened to them from February 18th to March 28th? We went from paid off to writing off $252,000, and then a couple weeks later, another $100,000 that was never paid.
Well, the $252,000 as a write off has always been there. All I did is report out that there's the legal fees that I'm reporting out are ones that we intend to pay, versus ones. $250,000 we intend not to pay, and we'll write off as a function, as a part of our audit for the end of this fiscal.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to make sure I understand. The $252,000 is what you're saying we intend not to pay.
That's correct.
Okay, but in February, it was reported
that
everything
February.
Was... Yeah, but in February, it was reported that everything was paid off.
Well, that including the part we're going to write off, I think, was the understanding that I got from that report.
All right. And then what's the $100,000? Is that also included in there?
I'm not sure what the reference is to the $100,000. I think that maybe the question was how much we had left in this fiscal on old legal to pay.
Okay.
I'm saying that by the end of this fiscal, we will have paid off old legal. That is the ones we have accepted as a legal obligation of $311,000. It's in the cash and capital section of the reports.
Okay.
And the new legal... I hate to say, is a new legal expense that we've picked up at a couple of stations that's, you know, incurred this year, nothing to do with old legal, but around disciplinary matters, investigations we underwent at WBAI, and investigations that we're looking at KPFA.
Uh-huh.
That is now new legal expense. And right now, it is totaling $50,000, and rising.
$50,000 for both stations?
I was referring to that $50,000 at WBAI alone.
So that's not counting the KPFA.
Not counting.
So what you're saying is that at the end of the fiscal year, we'll be at zero, not counting the 50 plus the KPFA.
Yes, correct, on old legal. But
thank you.
Fortunately, new legal keeps piling in on us, and, you know.
Well, okay. Thank you. I'm sorry to pull that away, but.
Lonnie?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I just wanted, I was, just in terms of clarification, the old legal would be items that have showed up in prior year's financial statements as expenses, but were just unpaid bills from prior fiscal years, correct?
Yes, in addition to settlements that we just did, you know, in January 2004 that we're paying out, you know, it's taking all this time to pay out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, people feel that legal is over and done with, but we're still paying legal from the old board, Betsy Wash, Daughtry. And we're just finishing these people up at the end of this fiscal, and we have one or two more months into the next fiscal, and we will be finished with these folks.
When you do your write-off, what's your associated ledger item? Are you going to be reducing the aggregate legal expense, or are you going to be taking out of something else?
I'm going to reduce the aggregate legal expense, you know, with the assent of the auditor.
Okay. I'd like to then ask the question about BAI. Assuming for a moment that Patty's correct and that we have to treat rent as a fixed expense, although it would seem to me that perhaps some renegotiation of lease might be, particularly if there's 7 years remaining on it, there might, you know, might be prudent to explore. But let's say that the actual moving is going to be difficult, and that just leaves us with the variable and semi-variable, and again, I'm back to the salary issue. And as Ambrose indicated, three full-time and I guess, was it two, one-half? Mm-hmm. So let's say four FTEs reduction is not going to do it.
Correct.
So at what point, I know we're a network and we're also, you know, semi-autonomous local units, but at what point, it certainly I imagine before adoption of FY06, do we say to BAI or do we decide how to fix this immediate problem of the structural imbalance between the people who are the salaries, which are, of course, a huge part of the expenses, and the amount of money they seem to be able to comfortably collect? Because, in fact, BAI does raise a good deal of money, but unfortunately, it's not enough, you know?
Off that $500,000.
Mark.
$500,000.
We're all faced with that problem every station.
Yeah.
Mark, mm-hmm. This is Baruti. Yeah. I think the four FTEs for next year are projecting an annual savings of about $150,000 in terms of salaries.
Oh, okay.
And fringes. So that's, I think that's the number that they were looking to save.
But if I
this is Patty. Also, this
Dave would like to speak. Go ahead, Patty.
This was the budget that Indra made up, the preliminary budget in May that has been sent to Lonnie. She has not got a response on that. Now, because of the shortfall came after the May, it's going to need to be changed even further. So this 4 FTE thing is before this failed fundraiser. So now it has to be redone now even further, which she's waiting for information from Lonnie to move forward on.
Oh, no.
Not waiting for Lonnie.
Not waiting for me. I already...
Well, I gave her authorization to do that about 10 days ago.
Oh, maybe remind her then, because I thought that she put... There was something waiting for this to go forward.
She wanted to... What she said in the email is that she didn't want to do it because the fund drive is coming up this coming Monday, and she thought that might put a damper on the fund drive. But she had authorization before to do that. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought she was trying to communicate with Lonnie about these things. That's what I thought last night.
No, I sent her an email and authorized her to proceed and congratulated her on the... She came up with it and sent a copy to the four representatives on this board. Remember, Patty?
Yes, I saw that for the 4 FTE thing, yes.
Yeah, that's
but I'm talking about now, it's even, that was before the fund drive thing, so I'm just saying the next step is not taken for to cover this for this failed fundraiser is not in those 4 FTE cuts. That's an additional reexamination of the 06 budget.
That's true, Patty. That's absolutely true.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I want to get a little clarity because I want to know what we have authorization to do and what we don't have. Does Indra, because my understanding is similar to what Patty had, was that she was waiting to get some feedback in terms of this first draft or whatever Lonnie thought needed to be done in order to, you know, take into consideration this failed fund drive in terms of what we have to do for 05, 06. So is that where we are, Lonnie? In other words, you guys are going to get together and do deeper cuts for 05, 06 at this point, or is she to do that and give it back to you?
I've been exchanging emails out there.
Okay.
I want to take a step back and just note that we changed the structure of Pacifica and the structure of staffing in the mid-90s as part of a larger change that was happening throughout community radio, and it's based on a set of assumptions about how you raise revenue. And part of that model is a model of having syndication of programming that you're distributing to a lot of people. So that, you know, the whole satellite system and the idea of creating national programming is the idea that individual stations can't necessarily support, community radio stations can't necessarily support the kind of paid production staff that a program service can. So, for example, Minnesota Public Radio was buying up radio stations and then distributing stations that were paid by rather large production staffs and had high expenses to a broad community of their own stations and other stations. NPR can afford a kind of high production value approach to programming. We started down that road, but I don't have the feeling, based on anything I saw at that time, and Ambrose was, you know, on the ground at the stations, other people here were around at that time. One of the arguments we had way back when it was happening was, this is based on a whole lot of assumptions that you may not be able to meet. And the staffing patterns that you're adopting based on other models are not staffing patterns that necessarily can be sustained given your model of broadcasting and who you're broadcasting to. So part of the argument was there is implicit in this a shift in target market and the whole approach to broadcasting, because the financial model doesn't work with the kind of thing that Pacifica has historically been doing. The objection was that that wasn't a consensual process. It wasn't something that was discussed in those terms, and the numbers were never really worked out, or at least if they were, we didn't see them. And there's a question even to whether it foresaw the changes in media that are coming down our throat, because there's a whole other set of things that are happening just aside from CPB, and one of them is draining away listenership to digitally distributed media for which we don't yet have a business model or plan, or call it an economic model.
Well, you know, one thing, Dave, what you're saying here, and I think it's good that we're talking about BAI because it's just sort of the one that came first, but a lot of the issues you're talking to reflect on the entire situation.
Foundation.
That where we are, and I mean, to me, the question I wrote, when you were talking, I wrote down the word leverage. And, of course, there's a lot of ways to do that. And we have something here that we need to generate more than we're generating, even with cost reductions.
Right.
And there's a couple ways to do that. I mean, obviously, there's the leveraging of one of our key cost areas here, which is staff, and I guess that's what Patty alluded to. Could someone start six with the dishes? Thanks. There was one thing that Patty alluded to, which was the rediscovery of volunteer labor, or something to that effect, where our salaries have grown over time, and maybe we need to look at that. That's certainly one way. Obviously, if everyone's a volunteer, or a large number of people are, or a larger number are, then that's leverage. There's also financial leverage, which is something we've talked about from time to time in the past, investigating. There's market leverage. And then there's the sort of leverage you're talking about where we look at our programming assets and try to figure out ways that we can attract additional revenue or different revenue streams than what we're doing now. Is that what you're saying, or are you talking about foregoing
more generally,
it all? Wait, let me finish.
Okay.
Or are you talking about foregoing it all together? I'm not clear.
What I'm pointing out is the need to take this on. We have a few really immediate problems, but we have some longer-term problems that come out of a structural approach, and I don't claim to have clarity over the answer or what needs to be done. I think it needs to be addressed at that level of, you know, how as an organization does your staffing plan meet your resources, meet your audience, meet your mission? And that's the thing that I haven't seen us do enough of. So we can chase along behind these, you know, things as they spring up. But I'm not arguing for a specific approach. In fact, I think the flaw of what was done in the mid-90s was it took a set of real objections to real problems and then used that as an excuse to drive a particular solution through. I think we need to be doing things in several different ways, a number of different models operating within the foundation simultaneously, but be clear about that's what we're doing and how you balance resources to each of them and what they're generating and what it's for. I know that's abstract. And
no,
sound vague, but I, you know, basically what we're talking about
right.
is you have a component of programming that's produced by volunteers. You have a component of programming that's a high production values approach. You have a component of programming that's distributed through radio, component through digital, And you have outside independent producers, which are going to be more and more a critical question. What's our relationship to them? Because more and more the best and the brightest are not going to necessarily be willing to be within an institution that they that's not running in ways that set them free in the way Lou Hill and the other founders talked about us doing. But we still may want to be a platform for certain kinds of stuff. So each of those things has to happen. And I'm not arguing that one should we should
no,
be
I
all
understand.
One or the other. I do
and,
want
and
to get
I'm
into
still not clear on what you're saying in terms of the revenue components to all of the channels you suggested. But I'm hearing you. But I guess the question I then have for Lonnie and Ambrose is, what do we do now?
Yeah,
right
let me
now?
Go over that. I think we just go. Let's go back to the immediate issues on hand.
Yeah. What do we do right now?
Yeah. Well, here's what I think we need to do right now. The number one. Hold on, just a second. One issue we face is WBAI. Here's the timetable. They, in order to look at staff reduction, have to give 30 days notice to the union. And in order to be able to have that be in effect by September, they should do it by August 1st. We're talking 2 weeks from now. They, and what needs to happen is that WBAI should look to implement that recovery plan that this committee recommended some time ago, that it be implemented. It did call for more than 4 or 5 reductions in staff.
Yes, it did.
So we that needs to be looked at in terms of whether it's something that needs to be done now. So I'm suggesting that Ambrose and I will end up going to New York in a week, looking at the plan, meeting with the union, and seeing what can and should be done by August 1st. Because I do believe that if we don't have at least in place a plan starting August 1st, September will simply be upon us, and we'll be overwhelmed with a station that has $250,000 bill that they can't pay. If we don't do that, then the stations, that is, other stations, will have to kick in to help pay for those expenses, certainly the payroll component, unless we're willing to see people go unpaid.
What's
well,
the good thing? Kay has some extra money.
Yeah, but and I want to address that right now, if I may. You cited a number of $95,000 surplus projected by year's end. But that number, that same number of 95, is the projected number in the May financials. But we just went $100,000 overdrive again. And I'm, you know, trying to understand how we do $100,000
over
target.
Let me finish. You go to KPFK. Let me finish WBAI.
Okay.
Let me do that first. I think that that is the immediate situation upon us. So I would want this committee to contemplate a motion. The KPFI in the next 10, WBAI in the next 10 days, review the recovery plan and present the plan to the finance committee via email if necessary around how they plan to proceed. I think that's important to do. If we do not, then we will be drifting into September with a huge problem looming there.
Baruti, are you familiar with this plan?
No, that was going to be my request, that I get a copy.
I'll be happy to send it out.
Take a look at the replan.
I'm familiar with it, and my recollection is that it's not specific as to how the reductions occur.
Yes, it did. It was. It just didn't get. We didn't do it on the air, Dave. It called for up to 50% reductions in staff based on the union criteria for reduction. It looked at it. It had specific FTEs. Identifying core staff that were needed to run the station, identify what those core staff were. And at that point, it was a 50% reduction. I'm not necessarily recommending it now, but I am saying it needs to be looked at in the next 10 days. Because
and reduction in programming expenses and administrative expenses.
Yes, it did.
Can we have a copy? Can you maybe send a copy of that to Nat Finance? So, I mean, if we're going to crafting a motion, I'd probably feel better if I had it right in front of me.
Yeah, a motion to review it.
Let's take this question of programming expenses. And I have another, I'm sorry, someone else wants
to. Can we finish this transaction? Whether we're going to do this or not?
Yeah,
this is Lauren. Just quickly, Dave, you said you had sent out a worksheet of the May financials. Can you send that to me?
Yeah, I sent it to the Nat Finance thing. Did people not get it? Because Mark mentioned
no.
He didn't get it.
No. Yeah, I didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
I sent it to the whole committee last night, and
did you send it by the committee or by individuals?
No, I sent it to the committee address, and actually, it's funny.
Because you can't get it. I don't think you can get attachments there.
No, they won't let you do that.
I don't know that I have it here because I sent it to myself and it didn't come through either. Well, yeah, I'll send it tonight. It's very handy because basically every station's budget shows up on two contiguous pages, so you can get to it real fast.
Well, Dave, can we go back to the BAI resolution discussion?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, because, Lonnie, what you were saying was that you will send a copy to the committee of this contingency plan, correct?
Right.
Yes.
And then what you're asking is that this committee contemplate recommending to BAI that they look at this.
Yes, and that they be prepared
to implement it,
act on it with expedition, because the timetable here is very short.
Right, because we're talking a couple of weeks now. But Rudy, you're not familiar with the plan. So, and you're the treasurer, so I assume that the local finance committee may not be as familiar with it as well, much less the LSB. So strategically, politically, realistically, how would you suggest we proceed with something like this in terms of looking at implementing a contingency plan within the next, 15 days?
So Indra is familiar with it. She helped to create it.
Okay, so she is familiar
with it. And the four representatives on the Pacifica National Board have copies.
Okay, so Rudy doesn't have a copy, so the treasurer doesn't have a copy.
How much are we looking? I just want to get clear in terms of a dollar, because I've heard the number $250,000. You're saying, Lonnie, we need to reduce costs by between now, well, for the balance of this fiscal year, we've got to cut $250,000 of expenses.
No, that of course won't happen. We don't have enough time to.
Yeah, I was going to say that's going to.
There's no way that'll
still
happen.
Still leaves us shy of the 400 that you say is really the nut.
Right. Well, the 400, you reduced that, my understanding, by the average fulfillment rate of 78%, and it's really not 400 that we have to kind of make up, because the way the projections work out is that we only expect to actually have cash in pocket. The spending is based on the fulfillment rate of 78%.
That's why their deficit is only looking like $316,000.
Right.
But that's May financials. That was before the down fund drive.
Yeah.
Rudy?
But I included the May
what's
fund drive
your email?
Projections.
B as in boy. Will we give it to, I can give it to you. Well, I don't want to. Okay.
Yeah, I can send it to you right now.
Yeah, okay. Lonnie has that.
Yeah, well, I have it.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think that we as a committee need to express the serious concern to WBI management, ask that they review what's already on the table, that recovery plan.
But see, the only problem I have,
Lonnie, other members of the LSB and the finance committee.
But the recovery plan, you said it says up to 50% and that kind of thing. Specifically, if you're projecting 316, and that's after this July drive kicks in, presumably, and does well, correct?
Yes.
So the bottom line is, you're saying at the end of this fiscal year, if something isn't done, or you're expecting 316 in the hole for BAI.
That's correct. I'm saying we will not
salvage. You said 400 earlier on the call.
Yeah, well, 400 was a shortfall on the phone. Yeah.
Right, but the overall, so 316, of which the majority of that will kick in September.
Yes.
So we're looking for BAI to come up with a contingency or whatever you want to call it, a revised budget or something to the effect that makes up that 316?
No. What I'm suggesting is that while it's obvious that they cannot do it in 1 month, but they do need to come up with a plan over some period of time, 12 to 14 months, where they will be back financially stable ground. That's what I think will be necessary. Then we handle the stuff on the...
Hello?
Hello?
If it's, I'm sorry, I was going from cell phone to home phone.
Okay.
Well, is there a minimum reduction, Lonnie, that they would need to target? I mean, you said they've already identified roughly $150,000 with just this FTE reduction. The four FTE reduction would cut it $150,000, so that cuts it in half of the projected.
Well, no, because, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Mark.
Go ahead.
But the $150,000 wasn't made to make up the deficit for this year. the 150 is made to balance out next year's budget, assuming a lower revenue base. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we still have to pay out severance and benefits associated with that. This doesn't go away because people go away.
You're right.
And the 300, if I'm understanding what Lonnie is saying, that if we ended the year with a $300,000, whatever the deficit is, let's say it's $200,000, that we really need to show a surplus next year of an equal amount in order for us to balance out by the end of the following year. Would that be fair to say,
Lonnie? It will take time to reorientate the cost structure.
So I'm going to ask a question. Is there a motion on the floor?
No, I guess if I had a motion that the National Finance Committee recommend management at WBAI Management and the board to review the recovery plan as presented and make recommendations back to the Finance Committee.
By what date?
I think that it should be by August 10th if we give them a little leeway.
We've authorized the general manager to implement this plan, Lonnie.
I don't think we have that kind of time.
They have to review it. Also, they got to bring it.
I think what Ambrose is saying is the motion's moot because they're authorized to go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, right now, they want to affirm that because, remember, they're only talking about 4 or 5. That recovery plan had more.
Ambrose,
listen to what I authorized Indra to do. That was a plan she submitted on the 18th of June, and it called for the layoff of all the interim employees that would reduce payroll expenses by $125,000. And she enumerated those employees, and then she also said, we can discontinue a few of the per diem operations staff in Prince, two half-time positions. And then she says we can also skim off $25,000 in programming expenses and $25,000 in administrative expenses. And we told her to go ahead with it.
So when you're asking them to consider this contingency budget, in effect, they've already have with respect to these proposed cuts, right?
Yeah, in fact, what I did was I thanked her and asked when she would begin implementing it, and I sent that along with her email to her and to all the four members of the P&D from that area. Yeah.
But my question, Ambrose, is if that is done and filters through to the 06 budget, Then is everything fine? Have we solved the BAI problem?
I don't think so.
No, no.
Mm-hmm. But it certainly gives a little breathing room for a short period of time that they don't have now.
Well, what's left structurally after
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I want to ask a question of Ambrose.
Okay, sorry.
It's just a quick question. Ambrose, are you saying then that they're going to utilize paid employees for this upcoming drive and not hire any part-time people to run this drive?
I can't answer that question about what they're going to do on this drive. Patty could answer that much better than I can, or Baruti.
I'd have to let Indra, I don't know exactly the details. Indra, I think, from my perspective, I think Indra would have to be the one to answer that.
Right. This is Patty. We have an extensive staff of people when we do these fund drives, and since they're very long, it costs a lot more money, and the food we have to buy, and all the people for inputting, and they have these tally room coordinators, and everyone gets paid there for these things. So I don't know if they've planned to find volunteers for that. They ask for people to come in, but usually they just ask for people to come in and answer the phones. So
I have to say, at our station, and I know we're just a piddly little station, but we don't pay anybody during our pledge drives. Nobody. And we don't pay for food either.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
We have a volunteer that calls up a bunch of restaurants and says, would you like to provide a meal on such and such a date? And I think that might
be
a way to jumpstart your volunteer attitude at the station.
Telling you.
One thing we saw at KPFK was the more we were out in the community, we saw a real uptick in the volunteers, the volunteer room's packed. We get all sorts of donations of food,
same thing.
Well, see, that's my confusion, Lonnie and Ambrose. If in fact, I mean, let's say I'm at BAI, and, okay, I'm working on a new budget, new assumptions for next year, ideally more realistic or, you know, more in keeping with what I can do than has happened this year. I already have folded in these reductions, which we just talked about, which are reductions in staffing, programming expenses, administrative expenses, you know, and I do some things there. Will the budget that I present for 06 be balanced, or will there still be a problem? And if there is still a problem, how do we solve that problem so that the 06 budget is real?
That's a good point. Let me just respond to it, because I think we're getting a little bit off track.
Yeah.
If we were to come with $150,000 reductions tomorrow, let's just say, it would take time for those savings to accumulate, namely over a year, because they won't be instant.
Right.
Oh, not be instant, because you have to pay out. You won't have the cash to even pay off vacation. If you think about it, payroll in September, you won't have the money for vacations and pensions and the rest of it. So it's a true conundrum. Now, what I think, what you have to be absolutely clear about what will happen is if tomorrow, Andrew or the management or whatever were to identify that $150,000, it would take a minimum of 3 to 6 months for that to play out, for there to be savings. Now, what will happen first is that in September, the station will not have the funds, even if they do layoffs in September. They simply won't be able to pay the rest of the people, not to mention the ones laid off, because they'll have $250,000 deficit. So I'm suggesting let's take the problem and break it into two parts, the budgetary issue, and let's muddle through that and identify what can be done to put the station on a 6 to 12 months. But the immediate cash flow problem, which hits in September, also has to be dealt with. And that is the one we don't have a solution to on the table. And what to do about that? Because I think the budgetary issue, given we have to deal with a $250,000 cash flow deficit in what amounts to 6 weeks.
Well, something I've heard on this call, I heard the name of KPFK raised, and now I really want to deal with this question, which is, you said $95,000 by the end of the year in this call, but that's also what's in the May financials. We've done three successive drives of over $100,000 over goal each time, and when I look at our budget, there is some higher than expected spending projected in a couple of categories. But I don't understand how, as of May financial, we go from 95,000 projected to a June drive that went over by 100, and we still don't get up off of 95,000 over. So that's one thing I'd like to understand. Another thing I'd like to understand is, just in terms of the budgeting authorization process, how the national office has over $120,000 of unbudgeted expenditure in the area of doing the mailings, why there was never a budget approval process. We've talked about notifications of amounts over $10,000, and yet here's $120,000 projected to be $160,000 by the end of the year with no approval that I can recall. There's one other issue that I have, and that is the free speech radio news. It looks like KPFA is paying quite a bit. So KPFT's projected variance, KPFT is apparently going to pay $57,000 less than was budgeted. PFW is going to pay $5,000 less than was budgeted. KPFK is going to pay, and BAI are going to pay what was budgeted, and KPFA is paying $39,000 more than was budgeted for FSRN. So these kinds of changes are things that I'd like to figure out how they're happening.
I hear the questions, but boy, can we finish up WBAI and resolve that one way or the other?
Well, what I've heard is that there's authorization. I don't know, when you talk about finding money other places, you're talking about budget adjustments network-wide. I don't see, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm missing something, but I think money's going to have to come from somewhere else, because what I'm hearing is there's no way to trim fast enough to catch up with the debt, and those debts are due. Am I mistaken about that?
Also,
is that
Ronnie,
what's being implied? So if that's what's being implied, then money comes from somewhere. What's the station with the surplus? That's KPFK. What else is going on? Well, we're reducing expenses that people are paying for certain services we're all getting. So that's what those questions are about. And there's money coming in other places, like there's these mail drops. So to me, I mean, maybe I'm leaping ahead too fast, but I see these as one question.
Well, one thing, Dave, and I see what you're saying, but I was wondering, before we look at the just before we leave the structural issue to figure out who's going to pay for it, which is the question that Lonnie did is leading us to, I did want to know if these changes take effect. I know you said it will take 3 to 6 months for it to kick in. This $250,000 projected shortfall come September, if in fact those funds were secured from someplace, is that going to then even it out until those other cuts kick in, or will that $250,000 persist on a monthly basis? Or some other figure short, so that the total amount we're talking at is more than $250,000?
I'd have to do the cash flow projections all the way to the end of the fiscal, so I give you a guess rather than...
Well, actually, not even through the fiscal, but at least through the next 6 months, because if we're talking about readjusting the budget and taking time for these changes to kick in, then something, our Band-Aid has to be large enough to cover the wound.
Yeah, let me give you my best guess, Mark. My best guess is that were we to find the $250,000 or a portion thereof, let's say $175,000, $150,000, enough to cover payroll, and were they to find the rest of it, you know, some sort of way, it would take approximately 4 to 5 months for the station to start to realize enough savings, that is half of that $100, for the station to be working with a small enough deficit in order to function effectively. It would still take over a year for all of that to work out, assuming over the course of the next year that the drives go as planned.
And is that holding the central services coming from BAI during that period of recovery, or are they being relieved temporarily of that expense?
Well, I hadn't thought about it exactly that way, but what I would maybe look at is reducing the amount they had to pay. So what will happen with WBAI is that we're reducing our staff here at National Office because we don't have the money to pay people. I would look at a reducing WBAI to help out on a loan basis. I would maybe look at see which stations might be able to help support buff period on a loan basis. This has been done before at the network, so it's not new. But it would all be contingent upon a plan being developed by that station where it could repay those debts from period 12 to 14 months. And it would be back on a balanced basis by the end of next fiscal. So that
right, but then doesn't that lead to Dave's question then about, because what you just said from the other stations, that KPFA has had to dip into reserves to the extent of $300,000, T is having difficulties. Your note said that PFW borrowed $47,000 from its savings in order to meet its goal. So, I mean, where's the money coming from? The only one that seems to be flush, and according to Dave, they actually have more than $95,000, is K. But why would K buy into
such an arrangement? And we have $1 million. We have, as far as I know, something like $1 million in the bank right now, though that has to get us through the year.
So if you have $1 million in the bank and $300,000 that hasn't even shown up in your 95 surplus, why not just write the check?
And here's another one. As of May, the listener support over projected is over by $462,000, and that didn't incorporate the June drive. That was the year to date numbers. Then our June drive exceeded goal by on the order of $100,000. But the total computed variance for the year shows us over budget only by 220. So I don't understand how in May you can have a year-to-date number that's 462 over, do an extra 100 above what you were supposed to do, and end up in the year only $220,000 ahead of the game. But
so Dave, Dave wants to know, do they have more money than they're showing?
No, I don't believe so. And the reason is they delayed their drive. So the budget that's done monthly was... they look at previous budget amounts for previous months. They didn't have any income in a month they were supposed to do that drive.
Right. They delayed that drive, and yet they were still ahead of what was budgeted, even though they delayed that drive. They were still ahead in the amount they had raised by what was projected by $462K.
And when you say you raised $1 million, this is you're talking about way of accounting, doing cash. You didn't get $1 million. We said that before. What you got cost me 50% in credit cards.
That's all incorporated into the budget.
Let him finish.
You didn't get $1 million. What you got was maybe 50, 60% in credit cards, which would be half of that. It'll take you 2 or 3 months to get the rest of it. So, in accounting, what we do is we accrue all of that, so it makes you look temporarily like you got more money than you do. Now, at the end of the fiscal, what happens is that those amounts all even out. And so the number you're looking at year end will be the correct number, the basic where you'll end up.
Right, but what you said was that you delayed your drive. That means money that was expected to come in as of the date, as of the May financials, had not yet come in because we were, the May was, a chunk of money was supposed to hit, but it didn't hit because we delayed our drive till June. Even with that, the money that had come in, the actual, as of May, was 462 above what had been projected, assuming a May fund drive.
Well, part of the answer, and I don't want to go into it in great detail here, is that you folks have been without a business manager for a long period of time. And some of the funds that you had received were not booked and were booked late. And so this shows up on the YTD, where 1 month shows no income or very little because they weren't booking all of the revenue that you, in fact, had in the bank. And now it shows up, and it makes it.
Well, we heard that about 37K, but we're talking about much bigger numbers. Anyhow, maybe this isn't the place. Maybe we need to go number line by line through these numbers in another context. I just want
to
raise what Mark
agree,
says
Dave.
Is true. I'm trying to figure out where we actually stand, because I feel like what's going to happen is these crises are going to be, these are crises that belong to the network. The station that is performing well right now and has some surplus building up is our station, but where it hits us is this growth is based on a series of plans, and we have a lot of potential if we can spend these monies. For example, remote facilities around the signal area at very low cost can get volunteer programmers who really represent the voices of the community more and more involved and make the community feel more vested. Our stringer budget for news, all these things are things that are going to accelerate our ability to raise money. And and I must say, stations that I feel have not been as aggressive as this station has in doing certain very forward-thinking things about opening up and letting more people in. I think that's one of the core issues, and yet, so we're going to underwrite, these other places, so I don't, I guess I'm going to have to hear, and our stationery is going to have to hear a little bit more about, where this leads.
This is Casey.
Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah, I have the MEMSIS report for KPFK from October 4th to June 04 to June 30th 05, and my understanding is most of this has been booked. What hasn't been booked is our expenses and our payables. So, you still go back to the way I added it up, I was looking at like almost $290,000 I couldn't find.
Well, one of the things is you started the year at K with $397,000 in the bank. So you had that cash on hand.
It doesn't make any difference you just said we're doing cash accounting, not accrual. So how would that match up? I'm matching this MEMSIS report that is very detailed.
Yes.
With a balance sheet and an income statement, and there's like $290,000 that's not accounted for in income. And it doesn't make sense that you're not rolling it over from...
What is that report dated as of, Casey?
June 30th, 05.
So the June numbers aren't in these May financials.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they wouldn't be in there.
Exactly.
No, but what she's saying,
still,
I think,
money.
is that those numbers will include, well, I better be careful because I'm not looking what she's saying. Go ahead, Casey, explain.
I mean, the logic would be that they're not there in May, but they will be there in June, so the extra cash that you're saying that you have will, in fact, actually appear. But that still doesn't deal with the larger problem you raised, Dave, which is helping out your buddy.
Yeah, but the other thing goes down to, we've been here, I've been on this committee since January, and I've been hearing that since January, you know, and I can remember when we had to go back and have a budget reapproved because nobody was following the approved budget, and everybody except me voted that you were going to approve numbers which left $37,000 out of KPFK's budget that we had raised.
I didn't vote for that either.
Rolling over and over. Well, you abstained. So
right.
It keeps rolling over and over and over.
So the thing is, Mark, that, you know, our station has been helped out by the network at other times, like on their, you know, on certain legal things. So it's not a question of this is not okay. We can't. It's a question of being able to know what's happening, so that you can actually tell where money's going and that you can actually monitor it. So that when you say that there's board approval for this and that, and you see it happening. And that it's not, this stuff has been nebulous, I think, for a while. We haven't been able to deal with it. So it's, you know, it's, I can't speak for anybody but myself. I don't think it's an objection to, you know, when we're flush and other people are not helping. It's, what does it go to in terms of service of the mission?
Well, you know, one thing, Dave, and I didn't mean to interrupt there, but before you got to the mission part, if you start what you just said in terms of the network, that's the question. If we have a station, a clearly important one, BAI, that we know is going to be 200,000 roughly short come September, that's already having difficulties, we've had to do some things with the central services for, you know, to date, and we know that station has said, okay, granted, we've got to do something. And they've said we're going to get rid of some people, which is never easy. We're going to trim our expenses and programming and administrative and some of the other things, and come back with a contingency budget that realistically trims 150 to 200,000 off our line. But in exchange, we're going to need some help between now and kicking it in. Isn't that a realistic or reasonable request for them to make to the network?
Whether it's reasonable or not, it's necessary. So that, to me, it's not a question of, well, you can't,
well,
can't say that. We're, as a network, the person that's responsible, the entity that's responsible ultimately for all those obligations is the network.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, at the network level, we have not been demonstrating the ability to do the kind of oversight that goes along with that responsibility. And you go into a station,
agreed,
and you said you guys are busting your tails. Let me tell you a dynamic at our station. Dynamic at our station is staff is working really hard to make these things go. And one of the things they feel like is we don't get enough support as volunteers or as part-timers or whatever it is. So we don't have any autonomy. We bust our tail, and we don't get anything back from it. And now, so we're trying to talk as a board about how do we use a certain amount of money to make those other people feel a given level of support. And then you go in and you say, well, we couldn't at the national level keep track of a looming problem, and because we couldn't keep track of it, we're now going to have to take the money you raised
and
put it in
there.
This place. And they say to me, why couldn't you keep track of it? And if you couldn't keep track of it, what gives you the right to come in here and now tell us that we can't get the money, access to the money we've been raising? I think these are all solvable problems, but this is the design challenge.
Well, just remember that the PMB did approve last year at the meeting. We did approve a budget as a PMB, in fact, over the objections of some members of BAI's LSB, in hopes that remedy would be built into the budget that we're currently seeing there's a problem. So now we've gone deeper and said, well, no, there will have to be staff reductions. We tried to do it without. So there has been some effort, maybe not as stringent as it could have been, but there's been some scrutiny, and now we come to this shortfall again, and now we are putting some things in place, asking maybe this committee to look at those remedies and make sure they are implemented. But I think that probably all of us, not just KPFK, all of us in fact, have already borne some of the difficulties with the 80,000 deficit in essential services that's projected for August, right, Ambrose? Are you saying we're 80,000 short there?
We've already 80,000 short as of the 400,000 shortfall.